Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Yesterday, we visited with Dr. Iman Abdelhadi, an assistant professor of comparative and human development at the University of Chicago, and she joins us again. Dr. Abdelhadi, thank you for giving us your time. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
You were there this morning again, I understand. What happened?
That's correct. Yesterday, a lot of community members, including faculty, were gathered until about 3 a.m., to support students. The police were at the encampment and in very small numbers. The organizers believed that there was no raid imminent, given that, you know, it was so far past midnight. So police waited until faculty and supporters left and students went to sleep, and then they appeared en masse in riot gear and destroyed the encampment, shouted at students, threw chairs around, threatened them with arrest, and cleared the encampment.
None of that should come as a complete surprise, since the midnight deadline had come, and I saw flyers that told students, here's the consequences of what will happen. You'll be removed. It makes sense to me that you would wait until there was a smaller crowd just so as to make it less of a commotion. Does that strike you as a reasonable tactic?
I want to clarify that the flyers were actually not given to the students that were at the encampment at the time of the raid. It wasn't until the students had been forcibly removed and pushed off to Ellis Street to the edge of campus, and campus had been blockaded, that the police threw the flyers at the students. So the students actually didn't receive the flyers before the raid. They received them retrospectively after the raid, which is really disingenuous, because the flyers include instructions on getting your emergency supplies and things like that, and as well as threat of disciplinary action. But students had already been separated from their supplies at that point.
We're talking about the encampment set up at the University of Chicago, and the students did meet with members of the administration. You were in that room, and you couldn't share all of the details with us yesterday. It seems to be more out in the open now. Can you talk any more about what the student demands are or how far the university came?
Well, the student demands were for disclosure of the university's investments, divestment from Israel, and from things like the Israel Institute and other partnerships with Israeli institutions, as well as repair for harm done. The university did not offer divestment. They offered an expansion of a Scholars at Risk program where scholars from the region would be brought over, as well as opportunities for partnerships, research and partnerships in the region, and an internal presentation of the endowment to the university community, one that just kind of explained how the endowment worked, and then an internal audit of the discrimination policies of partnership institutions, not just those that are Israeli. The students on Sunday when I was there were not bringing up any new demands. They were asking for clarification and more specific language. They wanted committees to be appointed both by the provost and include people from the community. They wanted specific language that ensured that Palestinian people, and specifically Gazans, benefited from these programs, and the university found those requests to be incompatible or whatever, and so they suspended negotiation.
Yeah, yesterday I was reading that among the other requests the students had was to disband the police, words along those lines. Can you tell me what that meant or what that was?
Yeah, I mean, the students were trying to at least symbolically acknowledge the relationship between the police and harm done to the Southside community by the University of Chicago, which they see as politically tied to broader systems of harm that are done both by the state of Israel and, you know, by broader institutions. That the disbanding of the police was not a part of the negotiations by the time I signed on Sunday.
I see.
That was not one of the things
no longer. And then there was also the issue of gentrification. That is, you drew the parallel between what's happening to the people in Gaza being pushed out of where they live to some of the neighborhoods in a city like Chicago where people get pushed out of the areas where they live. I understood the parallel, but it did seem to me to be not really the point of what you all were trying to accomplish there. After that, though, a couple of my listeners said, where do the students, they didn't say get off, but that is, how is it that the students are able to force these policy points? You're going to a school. This is a university you signed up for. So let's put it that way. Where do these kids get off thinking that they can tell the administration about gentrification policies? That may be harsher than some people put it. I don't mean it to sound that way, but what's your reaction to that?
To ask ourselves, what is the university? You know, it used to be that a university was a sort of tripart, you know, a three-part institution that had administration, but also had faculty and students, and took all of these parts very seriously as stakeholders. Increasingly, what we've seen is that the university has been turned into a sort of corporate establishment where the administration operates top-down, faculty have very little governance, and students are treated simply as consumers. But that's not traditionally what universities have been, and it's certainly not what they could be and not what their, you know, sort of highest ideal is. But even if we treat the students as simply consumers, you know, why if their money is what fuels the entire endeavor that is the university, why can't they ask for transparency about where that money goes? Why can't they exert pressure on what's done with that money? So even in the most kind of conservative and corporate version of the university, the students have a right to ask these questions and to try to exert policy pressure. I think the students are doing that through protest because systematically over the past decade, there have been fewer and fewer avenues for students to express any kind of opinions about how the university is run.
Are you worried about your job?
I am not. I'm not new to harassment. I am harassed all the time as an Arab and Muslim woman who has an internet presence. I'm quite used to the vitriol. I stand by my work. I stand by everything I've said and done. And, you know, I don't think that any fear that I have over my livelihood compares to the sheer intensity of this moment or, you know, the fear that people in Gaza and other places are facing.
So I understand that. But one last thing, Doctor, though, I wonder, this has taken a sort of predictable arc. Do you feel like you and the students played your hand well? Did this accomplish anything? Will this accomplish anything?
Yeah, I mean, movements take a long time and they have many iterations, right? So what we think of as an accomplishment of the movement is about when we zoom out, you know, and so I think that this is, the encampment was an important mobilizing effort. It increased people's investment in the cause. I think it established a sense of power at the university to sort of say that, hey, actually, the administration is not the only stakeholder here. We can claim the space. And I think the students stood by their principles. And I think ultimately it's very clear that the university feels incredibly threatened by this movement, that they're not even, that they were willing to suspend negotiations over such small accountability measures.
Are the students going to go back, Iman?
Going to go back to?
The camp. Are they going to reestablish tents and that sort of thing?
Camp has been cleared. I actually don't know what the students' next steps are. I think there's a lot of strategy involved. People are also tired. I think, you know, it's time to take some rest, refocus, figure out what's next. But one thing I know for sure is that there is something coming next. The protests are not ending. The movement is not ending.
Are you referring to something specifically there?
No, I you know, as I've emphasized before, this is entirely a student-led situation. We are as faculty also waiting to see what the students, where the students would like to go next, whatever, wherever it is, we'll be there to support them.
Got it. Dr. Iman Abdelhadi is an assistant professor, comparative human development at the University of Chicago. Nice to talk to you again today, doctor. Thank you.
Thanks.